ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, from the 9th canto, chapter 8, entitled The Sons of Sagar Meet Lord Kapiladev, text number 22. Ye deha bhajas triguna pradana, gunan vipasyanti utavatamascha. Yamayaya mohita cetasastvam vidu svasanstan nabahi prakasha. Ye, those persons who dehabaja, have accepted the material body, Triguna Pradana, influenced by the three modes of material nature, Gunan, the manifestation of the three modes of material nature, Vipassyanti, can see only, Uta, it is so said, Va, either, Tamaha, the mode of ignorance, Cha, and, Yad Mayaya, by the illusory energy of whom, Mohita, has been bewildered, Chitta Saha, the core of whose heart, Swam, your lordship, Vidu, no, Svasanstam, situated in one's own body, Na, not, Bahi Prakashaha, those who can see only the products of external energy. Translation. My Lord, you are fully situated in everyone's heart, but the living entities covered by the material body cannot see you, for they are influenced by the external energy conducted by the three modes of material nature, their intelligence being covered by sattvagun, rajagun, and tamagun. They can see only the actions and reactions of these three modes of material nature. Because of the actions and reactions of the mode of ignorance, whether the living entities are awake or sleeping, they can see only the workings of material nature. They cannot see your lordship. Purport. Unless one is situated in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, one is unable to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is situated in everyone's heart. However, because the conditioned souls are influenced by material nature, they can see only the actions and reactions of material nature, but not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One therefore must purify himself internally and externally. Apavitra apavitruva sarvavastam gadu piva yasmarit pundarikaksam sabaya byantara suchi. To keep ourselves externally clean, we should bathe three times daily. And for internal cleanliness, we must cleanse the heart by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. The members of the Krishna consciousness movement must always follow this principle. Vaya abhyantara suchi. Then it will one day be possible to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, face to face. Om Jnana Timrandasya Jnanandara Salakya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Si Gurve Namah Shri Chaitanya Mano Bistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Pada Kamalam Sri Gurum Vaisnavam Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sivisakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Rade Vrindavaneswari Visvana Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyacha Kripa Sindhubhyayivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaisnavibhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So as Srila Prabhupada begins his purport, unless one is situated in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, one is unable to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such transcendental devotional service is only available in this world by the mercy of the pure devotees of the Lord. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavana Jeev Guru Krishna Prasada Paya Bhakti Lata Beach. That life after life, we are simply traveling throughout this universe. Yet Brahma, that Uparyada, sometimes upwards, sometimes downwards, in the universe, life after life. And only by the intervention of a Vaishnava is it possible to achieve devotional service. Srila Rupa Goswami explains that generally spiritual life is a continuation from previous life. In this way, as different types of grass, dry grass, wet grass, and the dry grass very easily catches fire. It takes just a little spark. So in this way, different living beings are coming to devotional service. Some already had achieved some level of advancement in a previous life, and then very easily continue in this life, and very quickly again can come to great focus in devotional service, not so distracted by the material energy. Others are struggling, and the material energy seems to be all powerful, and although although they are receiving transcendental knowledge, spiritual life is one big struggle. Whatever it may be, whatever our position may be, I sketched two extremes and we may be somewhere in between. Whatever it may be, akama sarva kama va moksha kama udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena yayeta purushamparam, that whatever the situation may be, whether we are kama or akama, whether we have material desires or don't have material desires, still one should engage in the unadulterated process of devotional service. And in this way, we become purified. So, many spiritual masters appear in the material world. And it is by the mercy of such personalities that one can receive the Bhakti Lata Beach, and one can begin his devotional service. When Srila Prabhupada was in the early days in San Francisco, at one point his health was taking a turn for the worst, and the situation in America, the weather was just not conducive. Prabhupada needed heat, and his body being from India, so Prabhupada decided to go back to India for some time, and that of course was a great crisis in a way, because he was Krishna conscious. He was Krishna consciousness, right? Without him, where was Krishna consciousness? Right? So there was a great, great concern, and someone suggested maybe someone else can come from India and at least to sort of take your place. And then Prabhupada became grave and quiet and said that my spiritual master was not an ordinary spiritual master. In this way, surely we can say Srila Prabhupada was not an ordinary spiritual master. He by far exceeded what any spiritual master would possibly do. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, there's an interesting description about Gopakumar, who is searching for the ultimate goal in life, and who is given a mantra to chant by his spiritual master. And as he is chanting his mantra, he becomes purified. And on the strength of that chanting, he becomes gradually uplifted and comes to higher stages of consciousness, which then manifests in the book that Gopakumar becomes empowered to travel to higher abodes. And in the course of all this, Gopakumar is traveling and he is coming up to higher and higher levels of worship of the Supreme Lord. And at one point, Gopakumar meets his spiritual master. And the spiritual master is overwhelmed by ecstatic symptoms, deeply absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And as a result, he gives Gopakumar only half instructions. He gives him half instructions and then becomes overwhelmed and never finishes his instruction fully of how to practice spiritual life. And then before you know it, he's already gone. And Gopakumar goes to work as good as he can with those instructions. And even then, he attains perfection. Because of his sincerity, because of his sincerity in trying to fulfill the order of his spiritual master, the Lord personally intervenes. Tatenu kampam susamiksamano bunjane vatmakritam vipakam ridvakva purva yuvidadan namaste yamuktipabe sadayavak. The spiritual master is manifesting from within the heart. In Bhagavad Gita also, tesam evanukam partam aham agyana jamtamaha nasiyami atmabhavasto jnana dipena basvata. There also it is stated that nasiyami atmabhavasto, I'm residing, Krishna says, I'm residing within the consciousness of the living being. And when the living being turns to me, and then somehow or other, I help him from within. And Srila Prabhupada in the purport explains that even when the spiritual master gives us all the instructions, still if somehow or other we're not able to fully take advantage of these instructions, then Krishna helps from within. And then somehow or other, it also becomes possible still to attain perfection. Now, Srila Prabhupada was no ordinary spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada left no stone unturned. He left no opportunity. He let no opportunity to go by. Any opportunity he got, first of all, to reach out to conditioned souls and to somehow or other enter into their little world of ignorance and to pierce the boundaries of false ego and to just enter there and just forcefully with Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada tried every opportunity, and then he also took every opportunity to teach and to make the teachings available in great detail. How would we have ever understood the Bhagavatam? Even if we would have understood that the Bhagavatam is the principal literature of Lord Chaitanya's movement, even if we would have somehow or other grasped that point, how would we have understood it without Prabhupada's purports? Not possible. Take for example, there's the description of Puranjan, and it's a very allegorical story and complex symbolism. Who would have figured it out? Who would have figured it out? But Prabhupada brought his purports, and in these purports he faithfully consulted the acharyas and their commentaries. So he collected all the essence from these commentaries, then he added his own explanations, and in this way made everything crystal clear. Where has such clarity been available before? Where has the world ever seen such an inundation of transcendental knowledge? Where? When was it ever available? We cannot see that in the history of the world. All this detailed knowledge, now easily available. Srila Prabhupada was in Mayapur, and he saw Satadanya with a book in his hand, and it clearly was not Prabhupada's book. So Prabhupada said, "So, what is that book you are reading?" And Satadanya said, he thought he had a good reply. He said, "It's a book of your spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada." He's thinking, what will he say now? Can't say anything to that. And Prabhupada said, oh, No one can understand my spiritual master. Only I can understand his books. And then that finished him off. So, such clarity. Prabhupada gave everything in such clarity. And yet, we still get distracted. Somehow or other, we read so many things, but not the books. Yes, there's enough to read these days, especially in your pocket, electronically. Can just scroll page after page. Some people keep on scrolling on Facebook and it becomes compulsive. They can't stop it anymore. And the tongue just keeps on scrolling screens down until they have to go to the funny farm for a while. What can we say? Distraction. Kali has arranged so many ways to infiltrate and to distract the Sankirtan movement. In a conversation with Hayagriva, which is it's actually the beginning of all Prabhupada's recorded conversations, begins kind of there, with a discussion with Hayagriva about the play, the Kali play. And Hayagriva is a professor in English language, and he thinks, let me help the Swami, right? Because in those days, Swamiji is just kind of there with a handful of followers, and I agree with things. I have to help him. He doesn't see Prabhupada is descending just from the pure transcendental platform, and every single word is filled with unlimited potency. So Prabhupada begins to explain the play, and he begins to explain Kali in the play. And now when we read that play, and because we have studied more, and now because we have also looked at some of the Goswami writings, now we know that Prabhupada's Chaitanya play was based on the play of Kavi Karnapur. And we know that Prabhupada was basically following that play. And in that play, at one point, it is described that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reveals his transcendental nature at the time of the Mahaprakash Lila, and how there is a spontaneous Mahaprabhu sits on the altar in Srivas's house, moves the shaligrams aside, and just sits right there on the altar. And then everyone spontaneously begins to bring ingredients for an abhishek. And they begin that abhishek and so on. And in this whole setting, gradually everyone becomes clear as to who the Supreme Personality of Godhead is, and how everything depends on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then Kali is standing there witnessing the whole thing from a distance, together with Adharma, with sin personified, with irreligion. And Kali says, we are finished. We are finished. Dharma says, come on, don't be so depressed. Right? What's wrong with you? I mean, lately, lately you're suffering from depression, right? What's all this pessimism? Be optimistic. We can be successful. Look, he has many followers. We will corrupt him. Look, the women are worshiping him. Look, he'll surely fall down. Look. Kali said, forget it, sin. Don't waste your time. And then Srila Prabhupada, who is he? Who is he? How can we understand who he is? The intimate servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the one who was chosen to do one thing, to take this Krishna consciousness which Mahaprabhu had spread all over India from east to west and to take it all over the world. And Prabhupada did it. And Prabhupada said, he says, just like a disease. He said, if you catch a disease, once the disease is in an advanced stage, it cannot be undone anymore. Then it cannot be stopped. He said, in the same way, this movement cannot be stopped anymore. It cannot be stopped anymore. Well, that's encouraging, at least to me. Because even we can't spoil it. Right? That is... That's reassuring. I kind of feel... because sometimes in our foolishness we may make so many mistakes in our personal spiritual lives or in this mission. But it cannot be undone. It cannot be stopped. Prabhupada took it to that point where this movement will carry on. I was reading in Prabhupada's letters and came across a letter where Prabhupada described that he said, my spiritual master now has returned to his eternal position in his Nitya Lila as a Manjari. Okay. And then I kept on reading the letters, and then a little further, a few months later, there was another letter. Right? Another letter where Prabhupada said that now that my spiritual master has entered into his Nitya Lila, I am sure that he is still watching everything I do. And when I read that, I thought, wow, this is really something. Because, all right, generally, after the departure of a great Vaishnava, the Vapu, or the personal presence, is no longer there, and we are looking at the Vani, at the instructions, at his words. And we also see in the beginning of Bhagavatam, he lives forever in his books, and the follower lives with him. So that's all Vani, right? But then, from these letters, I was thinking, no, it's not only Vani. Because if Prabhupada said his spiritual master was still looking at everything he did, then Prabhupada is surely looking at everything we do. And not only looking, if he can look. We know how it was here in Vrindavan with Sakshi Gopal. Sakshi Gopal was the witness. Two brahmanas, young brahmana, elder brahmana was being served so nice by the young brahmana. Elder brahmana rich, young brahmana poor. Then elder brahmana so satisfied. You must marry my daughter. No, 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 I'm not qualified. No, no, yes, yes, yes. No, no, yes, yes. Then finally, yes, all right, I accept. But please say this in front of the deity of Gopal. So that he is our witness. Anyway, later that brahmana went, both the brahmanas went home, and then the family of the brahmana became so against the whole thing that finally his wife said, I'll take poison if you do this. So he said, like, what do I do now? So then his son said, no problem. You just say you can't remember, and I'll do the rest. Then his son did a lot of politics and said, when they were in Vrindavan, this young rascal gave my father Dattura, some heavy drug. some herb. And he became, quote, totally confused, and he can't remember anything. And now this young rascal says that my father promised the marriage. Yes, like this. But then finally he said, do you have a witness? Do you have a witness? Yes, I have a witness. The deity is the witness. Oh, the deity is the witness. Yes, the deity. Okay. And that, very nice. The son of the Brahmana thought, so what? Deities don't speak. But the young Brahmana went to Vrindavan and said, yes, can you... He told the deity, he said, you have to come. You have to come because, you know, I mean, the elder Brahmana gave his word. The word of a Brahmana cannot go in vain. Therefore, you must come. You must come. Then Gopal spoke. And Gopal said, you know, how can I walk? I'm a deity. Then the young Brahmana said, if you can talk, you can walk. And so, then, yes, that deity walked, as we know, all the way to the other side of India. So, in the same way, I was thinking, if Prabhupada, if Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is still looking down upon this world, yes, then Prabhupada is also. And if Prabhupada can see, then he will also intervene. So I think he's actively saving us every day. That also is reassuring to me, because in comparison to Srila Prabhupada, even all of us together are dwarfed. Even all of us together, the whole movement. We are dwarfed, dwarfed in intelligence, dwarfed in surrender, dwarfed in service, dwarfed in all respects. So we depend on this mercy, and we depend on Srila Prabhupada in all respects. It is by his service. It is by his service that he has attracted the mercy of Krishna. And if therefore Prabhupada desired that we would go back to Godhead, then we will go. Because Krishna will uphold whatever he desires. He has purchased Krishna. And that is how it works. Like if Prabhupada said 16 rounds, 4 regulative principles, you go back to Godhead, then we'll go back to Godhead. If we look in the scriptures, we don't see that phrase, back to Godhead, like really highlighted. If we look in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we see the goal of life is Prema Pumartha Mahan. That is what is highlighting. The ultimate benefit of human life is to develop love of God. That is what is highlighted. Love of God. Love of God. Prema Pumartha Mahan. But Prabhupada didn't say regularly Prema Pumartha Mahan. Prabhupada didn't call his magazine Prema Pumartha Mahan. Prabhupada called it Back to Godhead. It's a bit long for a magazine. Magazines are like Time, Life, you know, short names. Back to Godhead, you know. You would have called, an editor would have clipped off back to, say, Godhead. That would be enough, right? But no, Back to Godhead, because that was more than the name of a magazine. That was Prabhupada's motto. That was what he was doing. That was what he was giving. Back to Godhead. 16 rounds, 4 regulated principles. Don't worry about your state of consciousness. Oh, my consciousness. Oh, I have to talk to you about my consciousness, because my consciousness is so many problems in my consciousness. Yes, don't worry about your consciousness. It's okay. It's just your hand luggage, right? That's your hand luggage. But you get on the flight by simply faithfully chanting 16 rounds and four regulative principles. And then internally, whatever is going on, please don't tell me. Let it go on, but stay within the boundaries of 16 rounds and four regulative principles, because Prabhupada said, you just do that, you go back to Godhead. And what about Krishna praying? Yeah, that you'll also get somewhere. Latest at the gate, right? Latest at the gate, at the door. Because there, in the spiritual world, everyone's got it. Let us just visualize for a moment what is going on here. What is going on with this movement? Romanchakam pashu taranga bajo. Who has the hair standing on end? Who has the tear shooting from his eyes? Prabhupada, yes. The diamond tear and other tears on other occasions, yes. That's recorded. That's been witnessed. That is known. I mean, in my case, nothing. No such thing. The only time the hair stand on end when it's freezing cold. And otherwise, forget it, right? But somehow or other, so that is not the issue. The issue is, are we taking shelter? Are we simply taking shelter? The more we take shelter, the more benefit we will get. The more we take shelter of this Srimad Bhagavatam, the more we take shelter of Srila Prabhupada, the more we take shelter of his teachings. Here in Vrindavan, everyone says Radhe Radhe, Prabhupada says Hare Krishna. Right? That was his response. Hare Krishna. Not Radhe Radhe, Hare Krishna. And the main deities are Krishna Balaram on the main altar. Why not Radha Shamasundar and Krishna Balaram on the side altar? Why not? Because Prabhupada writes in his Chaitanya Charitamrita purports that Krishna Balaram are none different from Gornitai. And without Gornitai, what are we doing here? Without Gornitai, what can we do here? Radhe Radhe. We are light years away. How can we understand? How can we understand the pure love of the residents of Vrindavan? But by serving, the servants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and taking part in this mission, Srila Prabhupada's vision for the Krishna Balaram Mandir was not to create a place of bhajan. Yes, the Krishna Balaram Mandir was bhajan, meaning that we would perform our own spiritual practices to elevate ourselves. Certainly, Prabhupada wanted devotees to come here to be rejuvenated. But more so, and I'm only speaking about this Krishna Balaram Mandir because I joined here, because I was the temple president here, because for many years this was my project, but by an arrangement of Krishna, I got a bullet in the back, and then I had to go, and then I wound up preaching outside of Vrindavan. But I joined here, so this is still my home, and I'm still serving here. But Prabhupada's vision for this temple was as a place where everyone could get the quality of Krishna consciousness. From here, this place, anybody who gets touched by Krishna consciousness is going to wind up here. Sometimes they're saying, oh, we should make this temple bigger. We should fill the courtyard. We should, open up the jolly because it's too small. No matter, even if we make a temple of 1 square kilometer, it will still be too small. If this movement keeps on preaching, because anybody who gets touched by Krishna, sooner or later will come here. That is the purpose of this place. And then
This is the place of quality. This is the place of pure devotional service. Prabhupada said 25 Goswamis he wanted here. 25 devotees like the Goswamis, he wrote, like that. He's describing the six Goswamis. 25 he wanted. Exemplary devotees. A lot of work to do. A lot more to achieve. Yes. Some of us got a danda. But then to be a Goswami, that's more difficult than taking a danda. That means pure devotional service. So in this way, we come here and see the heartbeat of a movement here in Vrindavan, the purity of the movement. And it is that purity, and Prabhupada is just investing that purity again and again into this movement and making endless arrangements to flood the entire world. Okay, I guess I've used up the time. So I'll end with that. And I thank you for allowing me to say something. Any questions or any comments? Okay, Ksuri Prabhu is first. Is there a microphone? There usually is. But someone has to turn it on. Technician, turn it on.
I love the way how you made it so practical. What we do, instead of worrying about our consciousness, you know, I was telling that to several devotees that sometimes our consciousness is really trying to take our temperature all the time. We just keep practicing and trying to serve Krishna, and that's the most important one.
Yeah, I'd like to add to that though. I mean, that obviously, if the consciousness is not good, then the four regulative principles and the 16 rounds become like the walls of a pressure cooker. And then within those 16 rounds and four regulative principles, this whole turmoil is there, and and then people will want to let out steam. So therefore the consciousness is also important. And I find that as soon as I open the Bhagavatam, then immediately my consciousness goes up. It immediately goes up. So like this, we have to make an effort to raise our consciousness. Not that we're all on automatic pilot and think, oh great, great, everything is all right now. The bar is not so high. We just have to be around and chant 16 rounds and 4x and everything is great. No, the endeavor also helps a lot, because if you walk around with a lot of pressure inside, then there is the risk of what the German psychologist called a Schattendurchbruch. And a Schattendurchbruch, it's a term in psychology, is that suddenly, unexpected, unwanted, from the subconscious, something dark just breaks through to the surface. And unwantingly, undesiringly, some sinful activity, some unexpected fall down, even the person themselves didn't contemplate it. It happens. What to speak of sitting there with a lower state of consciousness and contemplating sinful activity. What to speak of that? And chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. But contemplating. Then a slip between the cup and the lip, right, can make a mess. So, okay, that I should add, otherwise. Yes, Maharaj. Please send the microphone that way to the Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. I appreciate if Maharaj could clear these doubts in the statement. There is also a notion that mentioned that Yajnam of this Bhagavata, your consciousness at the time of death, should attain that body without fail.
Yes.
And also there is a statement by the Lord himself to Narada Muni, when he complained about the problems in the material world, he says, the Lord raised both his hands and said, nobody can capture me with their rules and regulations. Only through a loving interaction with him. So he could
right. Yes. Very good, Maharaj. I like your comments. And they are very relevant. So does yam yam vapi smaram bhavam. Right? Whatever state of consciousness you have at the time of death, that is the goal we attain. Yes? And then, Maharaj has further cited Narada Muni, who points out that if we're just following rules and regulations, and in other words, not serving Krishna with love, then we can also not attain the ultimate goal of life. Yes, these things are very true. But on the other hand, it is also stated that greater than the result of our own service are the blessings of the Vaishnava. So we cannot underestimate the blessings. And each Vaishnava can give blessings because each Vaishnava has purchased Krishna by his service. Krishna is like this. When Draupadi was being disrobed, she surrendered to Krishna, and Krishna says, whenever I remember Draupadi, my appreciation for her increases. Nectar of devotion. So in this way, Krishna's appreciation, Krishna is also mentioned in Krishna book as Achyuta, as one who never fails to mention the smallest service rendered by a devotee. So Krishna is very appreciative, undoubtedly, for every service done. And he reciprocates. So he reciprocates with our service, although it's meager. But then look at what Prabhupada did. His service is just inconceivable. Inconceivable how much he did and how much he tried. He tried so much more than he did. Right? I mean, so therefore, the way Prabhupada has purchased Krishna is beyond what anyone is just extraordinary. And therefore, Prabhupada said himself, he gave that example of Lord Brahma, who had given benedictions to Hiranyakasipu, and then Prabhupada said, Rishi Uchu, whatever the saintly personality says, Krishna will uphold. And when the saintly personality says, you chant 16 rounds and you follow four regulative principles and you go back to Godhead, then you must go. That you can find. You can look it up in the Veda base. Prabhupada did say like that. Dina Bandhu says that in Portland, Prabhupada said, if you chant 16 rounds and four regulative principles, you go back to Godhead. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. He said three times, I guarantee it. So there is evidence on the other side. So how to reconcile all these contradictory statements? That is the question. There we are looking at. And then ultimately we see that by the mercy of the Vaishnava, we can attain benefits beyond what we would have attained in any other way. Therefore, this movement is that potent, because it is. Prabhupada's mercy is still fully present. It hasn't diminished a bit. Right? It's not that when he was there, it was a little more concentrated. And now it's a little watered down. No. That his mercy is unaltered, unchanged. His prayer still stands. I remember that. Whenever I give someone beads and I say 16 rounds for regulated principle, I have faith that because I know behind me is Prabhupada's word. Right? You'll go back to Godhead. Yes. So, Prabhupada, of course, made other statements. In the case of Jayananda, first he said, Jayananda went to the heavenly, if he had any material desires, went to the heavenly planets, also said he went, but then when there was kirtan at his departure, then he surely went back to Godhead. Prabhupada also spoke about taking birth in a universe where Krishna appeared, performs his pastimes, right? And this is based on 10th canto, where some of the gopis, the Rishicharis, the Srutichari gopis, they were sadhakas and they appeared in the pastimes, in the Rasleela pastimes. They were checked by their elders. They could not enter. They gave up their bodies and their subtle bodies, and then they could also enter. They became purified then and there. So one more birth in a universe where Krishna performs his pastimes and then goes back. And then back to Godhead. Prabhupada also said like that. So, here we have to see and reconcile apparently contradictory statements. And then in the end, it depends on our faith. But a good case can be made, right, for the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Considering how much a good case can be made for the power of his mercy, the potency, considering what he did and how much he purchased Krishna. So I tend to lean that direction. I don't know, it's 9 o'clock, and I don't know if we should continue. If someone has a burning question. Okay. It goes to the back. Anyway. I'm going by seniority.
Thank you so much for the morning class. You spoke about not studying this moment. Could you say something about how internal scrutiny can cause problems? What is the duty of each individual is called devotees to bring things together, manage this, and do you see what they have to bring things together and pull things together and make this bigger, stronger in this call?
Okay, thank you very much. Yes, each of us has the responsibility for this movement. Each of us is bringing his service to this movement, his consciousness, his or her consciousness to this movement. And collectively, that is there, that contributes to this movement. Of course, Prabhupada stands there as a rock, unaffected by whatever we do, right? But in that way we obscure Prabhupada. Right? It is our duty to be transparent to Prabhupada, not only by our management, not only by our service, but also by our consciousness, by trying to be the best we can in terms of being his followers and representatives. And in that way his movement will be the best it can be. If we are obscuring by our material desires, by cutting corners on the regulative principles, by being slack in rounds, by having affairs, this one and that one, by expressing our homosexuality, by being dishonest, by taking money, which is not ours, from Krishna, by neglecting caring for his temples, by neglecting his deities, and so on. And all these things are happening, right, to a degree, to an extent. It's part of this movement. When we do all these things, then we are like clouds before the sun. A cloud can never cover the sun. Never. Right? But a cloud
can cover the sun for a portion and to the vision of some people. So that is possible. In that way, we can obscure Prabhupada's glorious mission. So therefore, we have a great responsibility to carry forward this movement and to do the best we can and to be the best we can. And then, if we do that, if we try to be the best we can and do the best we can, then miracles will happen. Otherwise, miracles may happen anyway, but surely, then we attract miracles. So that is what we are looking at. So thank you for that last question. I appreciate it. Thank Maharaj for his points, and Ksudi Prabhu for his comment. Thank you all, and we'll end with this. Grantarat Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.